So today's lesson gives new meaning to the word batting cleanup. So, Roger said my part is to clean up the mess. Not sure what he meant by that, so hopefully we'll be able to accomplish that. I don't know. So he has walking in the mud, and my part's getting out of the mud. You know, it's an interesting thing about mud. It's hard to even explain when you're walking in mud. I was working out, two or three years ago, building that barn that we have, and I'm normally 6'1". The time I would walked around a few times, I was about 6'5", and it's aggravating because it's not only gets stuck to you and it not only builds up, but the very fact that it adds weight to you creates really major problems in a physical way. And for the young people in the audience today, there's probably, as he said, you may even like mud. But the problem in the spiritual sense, when we get into the mud, it can leave a stain. It can create problems. With David, after he had committed the sins that he committed, there were some consequences to the sins. And with all of us, sometimes there are consequences to getting the mud on us. And sometimes we don't realize the seriousness of it, because when I was young and I walked in the house, mother didn't just take my shoes and clean them off for me. It was, you're going to do it yourself. You got it on there, you get it off. And I'll tell you something, we're very privileged to have a father that says, when I see the spiritual mud on you, if you'll do what's right, I'll clean it off. Otherwise, we couldn't get rid of it. We'd have it forever. We'd be stuck with it. You know, the key to not getting in mud is, as Roger said, stay on dry ground. In John 17, Christ, when he was praying to the Father, he made a point about, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. The problem is, we're in mud all the time. We walk around and there's mud everywhere. As a matter of fact, most of the world, unfortunately, is mud. The things of the world are mud. Satan wants us. Satan has put all of those things there, and they seem so attractive to us. To get all that dirt and mud on us just seems so attractive. Until we look into the mirror, as he would talk about in James 1. And then when we look into the mirror of the soul, it's not so attractive anymore. It's ugly. We want it off. And if we have mud, he talks about, it's like a mirror. We look into it and straightway we forget what manner of person we are. But when it comes to this spiritual mud, we can't. We can't forget what kind of person we are. We look into the perfect law of liberty. We continue therein. And being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The truth is, when we talk about this subject, we certainly don't want to be walking in it as Christians. Every once in a while, as Roger pointed out, we may step in it. But we better get back out of it and get it cleansed again. And we sing some beautiful songs, and I appreciate the songs that were led in talking about the fountain that we have, you know, and what we have to get rid of this permanently. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 4, he said, "You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us, he made us alive again." He knew we were dead. If we could get these images in our mind, and could truly get them in our mind, as Roger has been good to put some images up there, and could understand the seriousness of this, we wouldn't want to be doing that anymore. We'd want to get out of the mud, to stay out of the mud. In 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, he talks about Christians. "For if after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment to deliver them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit. And a sow being washed or having washed to her wallowing in the mire. You see, this is imagery that God put out there. You want to get a picture in your mind? You take a pig, you can clean them up. You can clean them, you can scrub them, you can do whatever you want to. You know what they like? They like mud. They go right back to it. They get it all over them. You can see them out there. Of course, there's a reason for that in nature. But there's not a reason for it spiritually. We need to not be doing that. Some people love it. I've been around people that the nastier it got, the better they liked it. To the point that sometimes I just had to remove myself from those people. You see, they enjoy the mud so much, they're just not willing to make any changes. They love it. It's their life. They don't just love it, they love talking about it. You know the end result is? It's a dirty life. It's a life that's visible to all. It's a life we can look at and say, I don't want that. Do you know why we want to shine as lights? Do you know why we want to be the people that God wants us to be? To see the difference. If there's no contrast between us and the world, and I mean it needs to be a contrast, then it's of no value. He talked about environments. You remember Lot? It looked good, didn't it? To get down there in the mud. That was beautiful to take your crop, or to take your cattle and all your sheep and everything down there. It was beautiful. Didn't think. Didn't consider where he's taking his family. We find in Luke 17, 28 and or should be 18 and 19, in verse 32. Excuse me, should be 28 and 29 in verse 32. Likewise, it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. They walked in the mud. They just walked life as it always was until one day. One day God said, I'm tired of it. And if I could get anything across to the young people, you better be afraid of your parents and you better fear them and reverence them, but you better consider a higher being than that and thinking about how to live your life. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. In the next verse, remember Lot's wife. She got out of the mud. She was on her way out. She could be free. She looked back. She disobeyed God. She looked back at the mud. She couldn't stand the thoughts of leaving it permanently. God said, okay. Why do we remember Lot's wife? Because she was turned into a pillar of salt. 2 Peter 2:7, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That's filthiness. We can take what people say today about all of the subject matters that we want to talk about in this world, and what we find is God says it's filthiness. We need to be careful how close we get to evil. Where we go, where we live, how we do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. Just abstain from it. Don't get around it. Easy to say, right? I just got through saying we're living in a world. Yeah, but we don't have to be a part of it. We need to be careful to not walk in that same dissipation, that same unrestrained indulgence in physical pleasure. There's people in this room can tell you, they used to live a life where they satisfied themselves. And then there's people around them that wondered, what in the world? What happened to this person? Why did they change? 1 Peter 4, 1-6, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. What's some of the mud? When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, you see where our environment, it'll get us. Stay away from them. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. Oh, aren't we going to go... And you say, no. I'm not going to do it. You're going to get out of the mud. I'm going to stay out of the mud. I don't want the mud on me anymore. And they speak evil of you. Isn't that amazing? They will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. You need to be careful of those dark places. In 74th Psalm, verse 20, have respect to the covenant, two sides. For the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. It'll get you in trouble. Stay away from them. Don't go around them. Get out of it. Stay out of it. Be careful and wise and pass by evil. If needed, move away from the environment that might affect our faith. Genesis 12, verse 1. And the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Why? Have you ever read that and thought, why did he need to get away from them? That's his family. That's his physical family. That's why. Joshua 24:2, and Joshua said to all the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Abraham was trying to live a righteous life. If he stayed around there, if Lot stayed with them, if all those people he took away from there stayed there, they were going to be influenced. Don't tell me, not a one of you, including me, the verse that Roger used. And he said, Judy said, be careful. If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. We think we're so strong that we can get in there with the hogs and we can get in that mud, not going to work. We need to be careful where we go, where we take our families, how close we get to an evil environment, to not walk in unrestrained indulgence, to avoid the dark place of the earth, pass by evil, don't stay around it, and to get away from a bad environment. Associations. Come out from among them and be ye separate, he would say in 2 Corinthians 6:17. But you don't understand. I enjoy it. Yeah. There's a lot of people have. Do not touch what is unclean. I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and fear of God. I need to do some cleansing. He said, hey, you need to constantly be doing that cleansing. It's got to be constant. You constantly need the blood of Jesus Christ. I've got to, when I step in the mud, get my foot out, get the foot clean. You ever try to clean one of those, by the way? I think I've still got some boots that I had when I was working out there on the barn. I think they're still in the barn. I cleaned them the best I could. I can tell you to this day, I could not get all it off. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And I always like to say in context, he's talking about Christians who had not believed in the resurrection. And he didn't want them to be associated with anymore. They weren't living right. You think this isn't serious? You think it doesn't rub off? You don't think we can't get the mud on us? 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 16, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Look at the words. For what fellowship, joint participation, has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion, again the same type of word, the joint participation has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Ephesians 5:11-14, and have no fellowship. Don't be participating with them with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Do the other instead. Oh, you know, but I'm strong enough. I can do this. I can do this. Roger's verse. But in all those things are exposed to make manifest for the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Even those that teach false doctrine that will destroy the people. Romans 16:17, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. You think it's not serious? You think he's not trying to continually warn us? Romans 1:32, he discusses all the sins that the Gentiles had been in. Every one of those things that put mud on them. And he says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You ever talk to your children and they go, oh, that friend's not that bad. No, not that bad. not too many years after that, you hear about them being in jail. They weren't all that bad. No, they were good kids. No, they're not. Instead, choose wise companions. He who walks with wise men in Proverbs 13:20 will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume delights the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. What will a true friend do? What will a true companion of mine do? What will a true associate do? They'll say, Abe, you got the mud on you. They won't let you walk around with, you know, excuse this, something hanging out your nose or something, food all over your face. They'll tell you, you got it on there. Rick used to come to our house every Wednesday when we lived in Huber, around the Huber area. Linda had this habit, for those that don't know, she made spaghetti every Wednesday. It's good. I like spaghetti. Rick finally got to the point where he would just take his shirt off and sit there with his t-shirt on because he was going to wear some of that. And what was worse, sometimes if you sat too close to him, you were going to wear some of that. Like Roger said, you know what? You got white on, it's going to show up. It's going to show up. You know, my dad said, you can take the dirtiest bed sheet. Nothing shows up on it. You put a nice, clean, white bed sheet on, everything shows up. So what do we do with our associations? Well, we separate from bad ones. We avoid fellowship with them. We don't excuse or prove their sins. And instead, we choose wise associates. How about the paths? Well, Proverbs 5:21, God knows our paths. They're always before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all His paths. He knows every path I'm taking. He knows where I'm going. It's not like my dad. I got by with some stuff with my dad. I didn't with my Father in heaven. But He's made some paths. And in Psalm 23:3, and I am sad that Edith's not here. You remember. I mean, now again I say it. I don't know if I could quote it as well as she did that night. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. He leads me. Proverbs 25:4 and also verse 10. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. If that's true under that law, it's true under this law today. First Psalm. Blessed is the man that walks not. And this is our walking. This is this. You see all this ties together. It's where we go, who we're with, where we put ourselves, the environment we're in. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What instead will he do? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate. How often? Both day and night. If I don't have it in me, if it's not a part of me, if it's not me, it will not work. So, here I am, going down the wrong path. What do I do? Well, I got to turn around. I got to do some repenting. I've got to make some changes. I've got to understand I'm going wrong. I need to turn, go the opposite direction. 1 Peter 3:8-14, finally all of you be one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. And I've made this comment how many times? Two choices. Good, evil. No, I'm pretty good. No. Good, evil. Well, I do evil sometimes. Which one? Let him seek peace and pursue it. In Hebrews 12, he would actually, all of this went with chapter 11. He talks about those great cloud of witnesses that we have from chapter 11. Those people that God had chastened. Those people He had put through things. Those people He had actually, at times, disciplined in various ways. But He had put them through things and allowed Satan to put them through things. So in 12:12-16, therefore straighten the hands which hang down the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. So that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. You mean to tell me that that was so bad? You see what mud, it don't look so bad. Have you ever looked out and thought, that looks pretty nice? Then you stepped in it. Recently I was in an area where not only was there mud, but there had been several dogs there. I'm going to tell you something. That's not a good combination, how many feet. So about our paths. How do we get out of the mud? Well, since God knows our paths, then the best way is look back. See what He wants. We know that we need to follow God's paths. We need not be walking in the wrong paths. And if we are in the wrong path, we need to turn around. And then we need to make straight paths for our feet. But how about our behavior? Our conduct should be worthy of the gospel. Philippians 1:27, don't let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast. How? In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I realize he was talking the whole group here. But we can apply that individually. Our conduct needs to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. How could that be? It has to be doing the things that God says through His Word. And when do we start this? When would God be pleased with us changing our lives? Well, even from a youth. 1 Timothy 4:12. Now I realize Timothy wasn't necessarily as young as we might think, but he said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Live a life in such a way that no one can say, you got mud all over you. You remember the passage that Roger used earlier and said, no one can be holy like God? In the true sense, we cannot. But in this sense, we can. We can get our lives clean. We can be sanctified, set apart. But as He has called you as holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We need to have a fear and reverence to God. We studied a little bit about this on Wednesday night, and I just want to ask a question, you know, about that. You know, we were talking about we need to have both. I think when we were young, if we had good parents, we probably, especially maybe with our fathers, had just a wee bit of fear. Just absolute fear. It wasn't so much the respect. I was afraid that my dad would catch me. I was afraid of what he'd do if he did. Then it changed to some respect. Because as I got older, I realized he cared about me. He loved me. He didn't want me living that kind of life. He didn't want me to walk down those wrong paths. He wanted me to be better than he'd ever been. He wanted me to walk in God's Word. He wanted me to understand and know that. Well, now I have a Father in Heaven who's wanted that from the day I was conceived, because He knew there was going to come a time when I'd be responsible. And if you call Him a Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, how do I behave? Well, I conduct myself throughout the time of my stay here in fear. Now, what will this control? It'll control my tongue. What will this control? It'll control my mind. What will it control? It'll control my actions. It'll control me. Good control? Absolutely. Will I watch what I do, say, think? Yes. Knowing you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but something was given up for you. Don't you understand with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot? Don't you come together every sundry and partake of the Lord's Supper? Don't you want to do it in a worthy manner, remembering Him? Don't you want to understand the importance of that in your life, and yet you're living this life and you come in and pretend? No, Abe, that won't work. What a precious gift to give. Love won't allow bad behavior. Just won't allow it. Oh, you know, that's just me. That's just the way I'm working on. We have all these excuses. Every one of us. In 1 Corinthians 13:4 and 5, there is no excuse. Love suffers long. It's kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. But it allows for that, doesn't it? I mean, no, it doesn't. Our conduct should be worthy of the gospel. How should we? When should we start? From our youth. Should be a holy behavior with fear and reverence for God, because love will not allow bad behavior. Colossians 3, 5 through 17 says this: therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. And let's do the list: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is created in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So if we want to be out of the mud, if we understand the importance of getting the mud off us, off of us, and we understand that how serious that is, what do we want for everybody else? We want them out of the mud as well. Every one of us knows people in our lives that we want the mud off of. We want it off permanently. We want it to stay off. That's why we need to be living right and teaching it the way we should. So, are our lives the way they should be? Or is something that we constantly work on, something we need to do in our lives? Truth is, we sing this in the songs, we read it from the scriptures. We need to make some changes ourselves to get out of the mud. If we want the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin, then we have to do things in our lives to make that possible. We have to obey His commands. If there are any here today that need to do anything to straighten out their lives, to get the mud off, whether a Christian or not, we certainly would be happy to assist you in any way we can. Would you please stand while we sing number 514?